Hi, this is Tiffany from the Fat Yogi Show. I am a fat yoga teacher trying to make yoga more accessible to everybody. So friends, before we get started in the episode, I just want to share with you that I do have a few classes coming up. One of them being the Mindful Try that's happening November 21st. This triathlon will be consisting of a 60-minute yoga practice and a 15-minute meditation, and then a 1-mile walk. I wanted to create this mindful try because I wanted to give you that sense of accomplishment of completing a triathlon. This will be happening November 21st at 8 a.m. You're more than welcome to get the recording and do the mindful try anytime during the week of Thanksgiving. It'll all be virtual and it'll all be amazing. If you'd like to sign up for it, go ahead and find my link in the description down here. And it's $20. And then you can also pick up a tee for my Teespring for, I think it's $26 for those t-shirts. So I'd love to have you a part of it. So go check it out. And I also have my 90-day yoga challenge going on. So check that out. That is in YouTube. So it is free. It is a 15-minute video that I upload every single day, which I'm doing right now as I speak for my day 34, but you can hop in anywhere. If you start with day one, those videos are available and you can kind of go through them. So I can't wait for you to give me feedback on those. But yeah, let's jump into it. Today's show is going to be about the psoas and about some back and other stretching. I went live and I just decided to record myself. So let's see how these podcasts go. I just thought it would be fun. All right, let's go. Whole thing. Hi friends, this is Tiffany Crow and this is the Fat Yogi Show, and I am recording this. It's a much different than my other episodes because we are just talking about the psoas muscle and I'm the only one speaking. And then friends who are on Instagram right now, if you would like to ask a question about anything, I would be happy to answer it, and it could even be a part of this podcast. It's been so long since I've even recorded anything or done anything for my podcast, so I'm kind of excited to get back into it because it's such a fun way to connect with people. So six poses to stretch your psoas. So the psoas is a major muscle that's overlooked or even unknown when we talk about muscular anatomy. You might hear yoga teachers reference it in a yoga class from time to time, but many of us don't even know what it is or what the role it plays. Where are you going to be for Halloween? What am I going to be? I'm going to be a skeleton. So tomorrow I'll be dressing up as a skeleton. So come to my class so you can see. Oh, Alexandra, do you want to be in my life? next time, sweetie pie, go ahead and like send me a DM, and I would love to have people in my lives. But this time we're just doing this. And if you have a question, go ahead and list it below and I'll answer it. Did you know the psoas plays a very vital role in our physical and mental health? When we become aware of the powerful psoas muscle and how to get the most from it, we can change our body. So the psoas is an organ of perception composed of biointelligent tissue and embodies our deepest urge for survival and desire to flourish. Hey, Tiffany, can you give me a big thumbs up and a wink and a smile? P.S. I love you so much. Is that good? You're welcome. So it creates stability in our body, but with openness, connection, and our need for survival as well. The psoas is the deepest muscle in the human body and therefore the hardest to stretch and strengthen. We can experience amazing benefits when we continuously work the psoas in our physical body, but the mental benefits are just as rewarding. Hello, hello. Welcome. So where is it located? It is located in the middle of the spine, T12, to the top of the thigh bone. So it's like all the way there, and it's inside. So it's from the front and the spine to the top of the thigh bone. And it continues down your body through the core and attaches to the very top of the thigh bone. The psoas is the only muscle that connects the spine to the legs. So isn't that interesting? It's a muscle that connects the spine to the legs. So when you understand that, you understand how important it is and how we probably aren't stretching it. Hello, welcome, hi. So I just want to like show this because I'm like looking at a little article here on it. Obviously I'm like reading something. And I want to like kind of dive into like anatomy more, but like, let me see if I can get this. But there's your psoas and there's your muscles. So you can understand how the psoas is in there. So let's chat about it some more. And if you have any questions about like muscles or something you want to know, let's talk about it. So why is it bad to have a tight psoas? The psoas is connected to the diaphragm and it can affect your breathing, which I didn't know. So that's kind of cool. So when your breath is constricted, your brain will activate your sympathetic nervous system fight or flight response. And I feel like that happens a lot in yoga. Like, we want to tap into the breath and sometimes we struggle to like be in the breath because maybe our psoas muscle is super tight. We don't know. So we listen to our body and we're like fight or flight. And we don't even realize that it could be the psoas. The resulting continuous stress and constant running on adrenaline can slowly begin to break down your mind and body. So you might just have a really super duper tight psoas muscle. Okay, Alexandra, didn't I do that? The psoas is the deepest muscle in the human body and therefore the hardest to stretch. Emotions can come up like fear, anxiety, stress, or sadness, and that will help or cause the psoas to tighten. A tight psoas can easily lead to low back pain. So if you're having stress and other things in your life and all of a sudden you have low back pain, then you're like, why is this happening to me? And having a pity party for yourself, which happens sometimes, I get it. But like, it's kind of better to understand that it can just be from a muscle that's retaining all of that stress and then it's clenching up and then causing pain in your body and other places. So this can also lead to weight gain, depression, and fatigue. Who would have thought one tight muscle could have so many problems? So luckily we have yoga poses. So there are six different ones that this article has. Hello, hello, welcome. That kind of talks about what can help with the psoas muscle. So Supta Virasana, yes, reclining hero's pose. This is not an accessible pose for me, but I feel like there's a way to make this pose accessible. So let me just kind of show you what it is. It's like knees bent. I've seen some yoga, you know, fat yogis get into this pose, no problem. My hips are on the front are way too tight. Hello, hello. So it's this pose when you're reclined. And I just feel like it ain't for me. I'm way too tight. So maybe my psoas muscle is super tight and it just is what it is. Like, I might need to stretch it. So I love learning about these types of things because then it's like, well, how could I get into it? I think if I was to prop like a bolster underneath my back or maybe two bolsters, I could maybe get into it to where I could actually stretch a little bit. So it's an effective way to gently stretch the knees, ankles, and psoas muscle. So there's also an option to where you can do it with a blocks. And then it goes on to say it's an intense stretch. And most people, the stretch will be enough. But like for my knees, like my left knee has issues. I've talked about it in classes. I have to be careful with it. So like putting a bolster under my hips would probably be required. And I might even need two bolsters under my hips. So my hips would have to be reclined and I would have to, if I were to lean back, I'd probably have to put my arms down, if that makes sense. Crescent lunge or low lunge. Okay, this is one of my favorite lunges. If you've taken any of my classes, I do a low lunge all the time. Like, how amazing is it that the psoas muscle could be stretched? And I feel like for this one, it really comes from the back leg finding that move. So if you don't know what crescent lunge looks like, here it is where it's like completely reclined, like completely making that crescent shape. A lot of times, even if your body is in like this upright position, it's fine. But this muscle right here, this leg muscle, that's the one I like to stretch when, or even think about when I am in that crescent pose. So Anjaneyasana,
nah. I haven't really like studied a lot of Sanskrit, but like Anjaneyasana, it gives a amazing stretch to the psoas, the front of the hip, the bottom of the knee, and also invites that heart opening back bend. Opening your heart along with the psoas releases loving energy throughout your body, which makes you feel more energized and free. I love that. So like, who doesn't need some like loving energy in their life? Yes, friends, let's do this one. Okay, so I'm a fan. I can definitely like be pro psoas low lunge, lizard pose. Okay, so it's lots of hip ones, which makes a lot more sense because it's the muscle that connects the legs to the back. So of course it's going to be in the hips. So lizard pose is basically where you're in low lunge and your leg is off to the side. So her leg is way over here and then her hands are in between and then your leg is behind. You could even do this with the knee on the ground. And I even like having a bolster under my knee just for extra cushion because I got that knee situation. And when you're in, let's see what it says. When you're in lizard, I love to focus on the front of that leg that's extended behind. And then the inner groin area, you can get a really nice stretch. It opens the lower part of the psoas. So that's interesting to know. Lizard is specific to the lower part of the psoas. And I think that, what was the other one? The low lunge is more specific to the upper part of the psoas. So kind of going in two opposite ways. The next one is revolved lizard. I've only ever taught this one like three times and it was with a little bit more of advanced yogis, but this is a hard one. So revolved lizard, and it's a quadricep stretch. It takes time to get into it. So, this will get into the psoas. It's detoxifying because there's a twist element. But if you are in lizard and you reach back for your leg, essentially, this one is a fun pose to get into, but there has to be a lot of hip opening for you to be able to get into it. So it's not necessarily just about having the flexibility. It's like hip specific and then shoulder flexibility. So yeah, that pose is really hard. And then camel pose, ooh, if you've been in any of my classes this last couple weeks, we have been focused on camel. So camel's another one for the psoas. Ustrasana. When I first was taking my teacher training, the one thing that my teachers told me was the most difficult pose, like most difficult asana pose in yoga is camel pose. They truly believe that. And I think it's because it takes an openness, an open mind, an open body, and a trust within yourself to be able to reach camel pose. And it's a very deep back bend. So if you're not sure what camel pose looks like, it looks like this. You're basically kneeling and then your chest is lifted and your hands are on your ankles. And so it's a very, very deep back bend. I love camel pose. I love teaching camel pose. I think it's a pose that is accessible. And I think it just takes the right person and teacher to be able to like get into it. I don't think it's the most difficult pose, but it is a very difficult pose to get into. And so it says here that Ustrasana could bring up many emotions, including anxiety, fear, and aggression, but don't fight the awakened emotions. So that's where that openness that I was talking about really comes up. When you start fighting the emotions of like, oh, this is hard, I'm struggling, stress, whatever's coming up for you, if you trust your body and know like, I have the strength, the inner strength, I believe in myself, I can do this, like allowing yourself to do that, then you could probably find a little bit more depth to the pose and then you could actually like reach for the ankles and go for it. So allow it to surface so it can be released. So kind of like what I just said, energetically, Ustrasana helps to heal our past lives in our past to invite compassion and love into the present. I love that. So it helps to heal the past to invite love into the present. So who doesn't need that in their life, honestly? Okay, and then the last one is upward facing bow pose or wheel pose. So This is not a pose that is accessible for myself without the use of a prop like a wheel. I can do it with a wheel, but I could not do it just like coming from the ground on the back. So it opens the heart, the psoas, the hips. It also builds strength in the arms, glutes, legs. So I think the main thing when it comes to the psoas muscle, it is like a lot of the hip chest openers, and then just making sure, like, it's a lot of back bends and things like that. And this, just because like I can't access this pose, doesn't mean I can't stretch out my psoas. And the same thing doesn't necessarily mean that for you too, because like when you come into yoga, there's always going to be like a level that you're at. And the main thing whenever I'm talking about yoga to like friends and like new students is to like say, let's try this first and see how you do. Let's try this, see how you do, listen to your body. And so, you know, wheel pose wouldn't be in the cards, but bridge would be. And we might need to strengthen our quads and our booties and our back muscles before we start thinking about stretching out the psoas in that way. But I would say, like, I love the idea of that low lunge. I feel like most yogis, if they could get on the floor, they could do a low lunge with a bolster or something underneath their knees. That's probably the most accessible version. And then the next one would be lizard lunge, and then so on. So I love all of these options. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. It says lengthening the psoas muscle invites the movement of prana in your body to help calm your body and mind. Consistently strengthening and lengthening the psoas will help relieve tension, back pain, and digestive issues. It helps to manage a healthy weight and help you feel grounded. Spend some time getting to know the psoas muscle and all the valuable ways it can help you feel physically amazing. When I was in my teacher training, we were instructed to find it, and we literally had to like dig into like the belly muscles. I think it's like way in here. Like if I was to like find it, it's way in here, and you push into it and it kind of like releases the muscle. There is a like a pressure point to release the psoas, and you do it on both sides, the psoas muscle. If you have like really strong ab strength, it's hard to access. But if you have a nice little round belly like I do, you can access it pretty easily. So go for it. You can even like check in. There are like different like YouTubes to specifically say how it feels. But essentially, if you're sitting down, like here's the bottom of my rib cage. It's usually somewhere in the middle, off to the right or the left, and then you can like push down and kind of feel into the muscles. You don't want to leave bruises, but just like a firm pressure to kind of feel in there and just kind of see where is your T12 vertebrae, and then just know that that muscle connects all the way down to the legs. So kind of an interesting little tip. So yeah, I'm thinking about doing more lives like this. So if you like it, let me know in the comments. And just a reminder, Halloween class is tomorrow, and I still have a few spots, and I'm trying to sell out, so go scoop up your tickets while you can. I think there's about 8 spots left, so I appreciate all of you friends, and that's it for me today, and I'll talk to you later. Bye! Record this as like a podcast as well. Hello, friends. This is Tiffany Crow with the Fat Yogi Show. So 10 of the yoga poses is what they're saying here. So it's saying weak hip muscles are often the hidden cause of lower back pain. I've said that a lot in my TikTok. So if you followed me for a while, you kind of already know this. Weak hip muscles are. I do believe in that. So basically when you're sitting for prolonged periods of time, it shortens the tight hip flexors, hamstrings, and calves while weakening our abdominals, back muscles, and outer hips and glutes. Over time, the effect of this muscular imbalance leads to anterior pelvic tilt, which means you have low back and hip pain. So the first one is embryo's pose. So start by kneeling on your mat with your legs together. Sit back onto the heels And then lower your belly and chest onto your thighs and bring your forehead to chest down onto the mat. Reach your arms back alongside your body with palms facing up. I've always known that as seashell pose. I don't find that that pose is accessible as a fat person. So essentially it's child's pose, but with knees together. I always feel like my forehead is going to hit harder. Like I'm going to fall into the mat. And hold on, this needs to be fixed. Okay, fixed it. I was supposed to have a class, but they canceled on me, which I'm totally fine with. But yeah, so I've never heard of it called embryo's pose, and that seashell pose has never been one that I've enjoyed, especially as a fat person. My belly has always gotten in the way. And so the way that I would make that accessible is traditional child's pose with legs or knees much, much wider. Or I would do hero's pose, which wouldn't really stretch anything. It would just like make sure you could like tap back into the breath. Supine twists. So we're talking about strengthening our backs. Supine twists, 8 breaths per side. So supine twist is where usually you're like at a T, kind of like this, and then your legs are one side or the other. So hips are kind of stacked on top of each other. So you lie on your back, you straighten your left leg, and then you hug your right knee into the chest. You grab your left hand with the right knee and help it over to the left, extending out the right arm. We look up to the sky or we look over to the right. And essentially for that one, as we inhale, we kind of like bring one knee up and then lower it down. Have you ever done a supine twist before? Do you like how it feels? Oh, hey, Delta Angler. If you don't know, Delta Angler is my husband. Yes, I am on TikTok Live. So hi, I do these for pain. Yeah, so this is a way that I usually will end my yoga practices, and I love them. Like, it's one of my favorite ways to end a yoga practice. Bridge pose. So I love bridge pose. Love it so much. So bridge pose essentially is when we lie on our backs and we bend our knees, and then our feet are close by our hips and our hands are down by our sides. We push into the feet and lift the hips. So we're making kind of like this bridge arc, essentially. And you can almost like go underneath yourself, you know, like my kids, if they were near me, they could put a car under there. So when it comes to bridge pose, one thing I would say is you could always start, hey, 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 hi, 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 hi. One thing with bridge pose is you can always start with just engaging the core. Like, I think a lot of things that gets missed in bridge pose is the engagement in the arms. So making sure that your arms are completely pressing into the earth. And then another tip that I like doing for bridge pose as well is once your hips are lifted, put a block underneath your spine, like at the base of your spine, so that it's comfortable. And then you can bring your feet back in. All right, so I'm back. The next one is standing forward fold. This is my like most favorite posture ever. When you're talking about yoga, like the first pose I want to do in a yoga class when I'm standing is a standing forward fold. A gentle forward fold will release tight hamstrings, glutes, and lower back. And here's the thing, like it says to stand hips width distance apart. I like mats width distance apart. So if you're thinking about the distance between your hips, your feet might only be this far apart. If you're thinking about the distance between your mat, your feet might be this far apart. Now, when you go down into your forward fold, bend your knees and move your belly so that it fits between your thighs. That will make it much deeper in your forward fold. So when you're thinking about like how to make this more accessible for myself, that's one way that I like to instruct. So pretty cool. Low lunge, one of my favorites for sure. So I feel like a lot of my classes revolve around low lunge. You begin in a high plank position. Step your right foot between your hands. So the way that I like to get into low lunge is from kneeling posture, and I step one foot forward. And I like to be on a bolster and then just like stepping that foot forward. So have you ever tried a lunge position? Have you ever done anything like that? Like, let me know what you think, because That's my favorite way of doing it. And then I like to, another tip I like to use is to bring my hands to the hips, because it brings the chest up, it lifts up the chest in the posture, and then it allows the hips to go down further. And then the back leg is where you feel the muscles stretching. So if you've been in a low lunge before and you're like, I feel nothing in my back, and it could be because your hips are back because your hands are on the ground. If your hands are on the ground, then you're probably not accessing the posture. And then so if you lift up your chest, put your hands on your hips, that'll make your whole posture different. Chair pose, 5 breaths. Okay, so I just did a full week in chair pose on my 90-day yoga challenge, and it could be a challenging pose for sure. My cat joins me in yoga. I try to get him to lay down so I don't fall on him. Oh no, Miss T Bikini. So yeah, that's the thing, is when you're practicing, you have animals, you have kids and everything else, you want to always practice safely. So yeah, I hope you don't fall on your cat. So when it comes to chair pose, here's the thing. You can always practice chair pose from a chair. You can kind of bring your hips right to the edge of the chair and then just lean forward and then like feel that muscle engagement there. You don't have to bring your arms up and overhead, like straight arm with hands like this. You could bring hands in prayer. Like this is an appropriate way to practice your chair pose. You can also bring hands down by your sides so that you're working your triceps and you're going this way. So it's like opening the shoulders, working your triceps, sticking your booty out. And it's almost like you're holding a beach ball behind you. So it's like grip that beach ball, try to like engage your arms. Hi from Canada. Hi Sue. Hello. Welcome. Or you can bring your hands up and overhead, and then it's like beach ball is up and overhead. I like to give like visuals like that when I'm teaching, because it makes people like think about the muscles they're working. It's like if you're holding a beach ball, then I gotta like grip it. I gotta grip it. My arm muscles need to work. So it's important to kind of like bring those types of things into your yoga practice so you can reap all the benefits of the yoga. And the other thing about chair pose is you need to bring the weight into the toes. A lot of times when you're practicing chair, people will be back on their heels and their toes will be lifted. Lean forward and squat down, and you'll find that you're actually engaging more of your muscles in that way. Single leg Tadasana. So mountain pose with a single leg. So this one I like to call standing march, where you're bending your knee and your heel is lifted. I love standing march. It's a great option to like find that standing march. I also like to go into it into like warrior three, or even like crescent lunge from Tadasana, like a standing march, single leg Tadasana. When you are accessing something like this, you can always remind yourself like lifting your heel is an option. So if you want to be on a single leg, you lean all the way to the one leg that you want to be on. You lift up the toes of it, push them back down, make sure you're fully grounded. And then you begin to lift the full foot. I think what happens a lot of times when you're in yoga practice, you end up wanting to rush into the posture and then you fall over. And the main goal for balance is to breathe, for you to have a gaze, and then it's to balance. So to find those things in a balanced posture where you're standing on one leg, I think is more important than, you know, getting into the posture for 5 seconds. I'm new here. I'd love to join your class. I'm a big girl, need something big girl, beginner friendly. I have group Zoom classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I can send you a link to my class. Just send me a DM. It's basically fatyogicrew.as.me. And that's the list of all my classes. They're $15 a piece, or it's $29 a month. So I love that. You need something beginner friendly. All of my gentle classes are very beginner friendly. This morning we did a half sun salutation, and we did it with eyes closed, which doesn't sound very beginner friendly, but it was an option. You don't have to do it that way. And everybody was like, whoa, this is crazy. So I love doing things like that in my classes. So yeah, I'd love to have you and to join in because it's only $29 a month. And I do offer all those classes. And tomorrow I have my Halloween class. So if you haven't signed up for it, go sign up. It's $15 and we will be rocking and rolling and doing zombies and corpse poses and all the different fun stuff. All right, supported yogi squat. So this is basically malasana. If you've done a yoga class, you probably have been in malasana. You squat down to where your butt is almost on the floor and you make a prayer with your hands and then your elbows are pushing into the knees. The thing that I see the most in this position is people basically sticking their butts out a lot. So really trying to make that booty come down and you lift up the chest. So you do that by lifting up your chest. And if you're not able to get both of your heels onto the ground in this position, then you don't squat as deep. So you squat as deeply as your heels will allow you to squat. And the whole goal of this position is to open the hips. And if your heels are lifted, you're not working on hip opening. So when it comes to getting into malasana, just keep in mind you can use a block underneath your hip for some extra support and or even like a bolster or something like that. And you don't have to squat as deep. You can just go for whatever is comfortable. Another way to access malasana, which is really fun, is to take two blocks and put them in front of a chair. Sit on the chair and then put your feet on the block so that they rise and then lean forward and access malasana in that way. So that's another way you can strengthen your back as well. Seated figure four. I love this because I didn't know that this was in here and I just did a TikTok on this. So if you have seen my TikTok on the seated figure four and the variations of it, then you kind of know. Those blocks are everything. Thank you. Yes, the blocks are everything. Like, I cannot stress it enough. Blocks do not make yoga easier. It can make it more difficult, or it can bring accessibility into the practice where it might not have been before. So, the block for figure four, you can just cross your legs if you want and then cross, and then you can place the block down and then put the side of the foot down. You could bring the block up a little bit more. So there's lots of accessibility. If you haven't seen that TikTok, go back and watch it because it's like 15 seconds. It shows like four variations of ways to get into a figure four without a figure four. I want to make a Zoom yoga class, but I'm scared to turn on my camera. I'm so glad you said that, Lauren Morehouse 64. I'm so glad you said that because it's actually not like a requirement. I usually will teach with about half of the students with cameras off and half of the students with cameras on. So if you are afraid to turn on your camera, that is totally fine. But I will say that the community in my yoga classes is just so welcoming and warm and inviting that most of the people by the end of class and the next class, they end up turning on their camera because they want to be a part of it. I love to bring an aspect of community. And even though we're over Zoom, I ask people to high five each other. I like am giving thumbs up. I'm asking how everybody's doing. And so there is like a check-in type of a thing in my classes, but keeping in mind that like if your camera's off and you're doing okay and you're listening to your body, then that's totally fine. I'm very supportive of that. Seated forward fold. So here's the thing about the seated forward folds. You know, essentially you're seated and your legs are extended out in front of you. That's great to hear. Thanks. Okay, good. Here's the thing about seated forward fold. Number one, your legs don't have to be super close together. Number two, your hips don't have to be on the floor. I always say blanket, bolster, pillow, blocks, anything you've got, put them under your hips. You need to lift up your hips. Once you lift up your hips, all of a sudden you can reach your toes. You could reach just a little bit further than you did before. So when you're talking about yoga accessibility, that bolster is highly, highly recommended by me. I highly recommend go get a node bolster. They're $40 on Amazon. I know it's a little bit of an investment, but it's worth it. It'll bring your hips up. Otherwise, grab like 3 pillows off your bed and make sure you're like lifted up in some way. You want to be lifted like a good 3 to 6 inches off of the ground. And then the legs. So a lot of times people want legs like this. No. We want legs a little bit separated. Why? Because we have a belly. Like fat people have bellies. So we need to be able to bend forward and have room for the belly. And if we need to push our belly in and get it kind of like between our thighs, then we do that. And that's okay because luckily our bellies aren't super hard and firm. They're soft and jiggly and wonderful and like huggable. So we might as well just squeeze them together a little bit and then push them between our thighs as we fold forward. And then we can find a little bit more accessibility into the pose. So seated forward fold, definitely one of my favorites as well. All of these are so good for your hips and your back. And that's the last one. So those were like 10 amazing yoga poses to release the lower back and hip pain. I would say another pose that they didn't mention in this article would be half splits. And that's just, if you're in a low lunge, you literally just shift your hips back, flex your foot, and then like straighten your leg, and you're in a half split. It's like one of my favorite postures to be in. The main thing with the half split is I love a block. I've said it a bunch of times, but if you bring your blocks up by you, you can like kind of touch your hands to the blocks and then shift your chest forward. Thinking about this, your chest should be up like this, not like this. You shouldn't be reaching like this. Try to keep your shoulders away from ears and reaching like this. Hey, matey. Is it matey, Mandy? And then you should be thinking about sinking down the hip of the leg that's extended. So if it's the right leg that extended, the right hip is shifting down. When you go into any type of split, immediately your body seizes up. And so you really have to work to get it down. This one stretch, you're my idol. Oh, you're so sweet. This one stretch will stretch the entire back leg. And it will basically make it to where like you're getting a full whole back of the leg stretch. So highly recommend the half split, especially if you're working on splits anyways. That's one way you can kind of like find a little bit of accessibility by doing like a half split. But yeah, that's it for this article. That was the one thing that I wanted to add to it. But I just thought I would go live for a few minutes just to say, hey, check in. It's been so long since I've done a live. I've been so busy with like one-on-one clients. Hi, beautiful. Oh, hey. How are you, friend? Oh, M-A-D-Y, Maddie, 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 Maddie. Okay, very good. So yeah, no, don't leave. Oh, friends, I love you so much. Do you guys have any questions before I let you go? Because yeah, I'm happy to like sit here and answer questions for a few minutes or go over any specific things that you have going on. You're welcome. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm good. I'm in the parking lot waiting for my sister-in-law to get her nails did. That sounds nice. I got mine yesterday. I got mine done yesterday. So it's supposed to be purple and it's brown, but that's okay. It's not like my mom's. She chose a brown barefoot okay for yoga. Always okay for yoga. If you look at my TikToks, sometimes I get these nasty comments from trolls and they're like, your feet are black. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm barefoot all the time. Yeah, they're kind of really dark. It's like a grayish purpley color. So my mom, she chose one that had like a cat eye in it, not a literal cat eye, but it had like this little swirl that they used this magnet to do. It was really kind of cool. And it was, you know, the one you pay $10 extra for. And she got it. She loved the color. It was like a champagne brown color. She's like, this is so pretty and neutral and it goes with everything. She gets in the car and it was pink. And she was like, what has happened to my nails? And it was because it was a color changing eye. And I was like, Mom, why are 2 of your nails brown and 3 of them were pink? We were dying. I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with your nails? Okay. Why do I get out of breath in reverse warrior is the only pose that does that to me. Ooh, okay. Reverse warrior, that is, a really deep, like, chest opener. So, like, you're like this, you know, reverse warrior. Maybe don't go as deep. You might be going a little bit too deep in your lunge, or maybe you're holding on to your breath and all of a sudden you're breathing in that one, because like when you're doing warrior two, like I would focus on the breath and really, really pay attention, like why that's happening. And if I was working like one-on-one with you, I would just say like, let's do it a few times and see if you start like thinking about like slowing it down. So if you took your Ujjayi and like made it 5 count instead of 4 count or 6 count instead of 5 count, and then went back to your warrior two, and then you did your reverse warrior and see the difference and just kind of play with the breath count. You see stars. Oh, friend. No, no. Well, here's the thing too. There could be other things going on in your mind you don't realize. And it might mean that reverse warrior isn't for you at this time. I've had clients who say they get vertigo in certain positions and different things like that. If you're seeing stars, you probably should check in with your doctor, because there might be, it might be the specific position and how your head is tilted in the posture. Because we could talk about grounding and how the pose looks and how you feel in the pose and the breath work and everything else. And if you're still having stars and everything, I would say back out of it and like take it off your list. And when it comes up, you skip it. You just take deep breaths in warrior two. Yeah. But yeah, if you have any specific yoga questions for me, I'm happy to answer them right now while I'm online. And, we can talk about whatever else you'd like to talk about. We could talk about the Halloween class tomorrow. I've got a triathlon coming up in November. Are you married? Yes, I am married. I've been married for 15 years. I'm very old. Whiskey Ginger. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, girl. Hey, hey. What's up, friend? How goes it? Hey, I'm so excited for the class tomorrow. Woo, yes. Tell us about the Halloween class. Okay, cool. There's like a couple of spots left, and that's another reason why I want to go live. There's like 8 spots left, and my goal is to sell out. So if you want to rock out with me, it's tomorrow. Oh, 25. That's right. I got married when I was 10. if you want to rock out with me tomorrow, it is at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Daylight Time. I guess it's Standard Time. And we will be rocking out to music. We will be doing yoga and then meditating and then like chilling out in corpse pose, chilling out with Michael Jackson and all the fun like yoga, Halloween vibes for sure. So 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yeah. So if you're interested, go sign up. I have my link in my bio. So it's like my yoga class schedule, and at the bottom it'll have the Halloween class. My left foot is always wonky and it won't be straight when I'm using it. How do I fix it? So I guess I would just say like, what about... Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of this podcast. And like, if you want to be a guest, I would love to have you. So send me an email, tiffanycrow@gmail.com, and I'd love to chat with you about it. Otherwise, go check out my class schedule at fatyogicrew.as.me and let's meet somewhere in the socials. Thank you so much, friends, and I love you so much. Bye-bye.